All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I look a little bit different this morning. My regular eyeglasses died a horrible death last week, and so I've got on these readers, and so I'm trying to get used to glasses setting on my face where they normally don't set on my face, and trying to work between this clear line of distance that I see fine, and then when I look down, here's this magnification that goes poof. And so if I trip and fall, if you would wait until you see if I'm okay before you laugh at me, I would appreciate it. That's called consideration. Amen? I would appreciate that. All right. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. And again, I said and began this last week that as Jesus is ending His sermons, well, it's actually called the Sermon on the Mount, but within the Sermon on the Mount, we found out there are many sermons within that one sermon. And so as He begins to end these sermons, and I said last week and gave an illustration as far as when He began preaching and teaching on these subjects that He did, that Jesus cast a very wide net. Just like if you see someone and they throw a net trying to catch bait or something like that, or maybe they're fishing with a throw net along the coast at the beach while they're there, that the net's as wide as the person who throws it can handle it. But once He begins to pull on that net, it starts getting extremely small. And Jesus is continuing to contract on that net and make it even smaller. Because last week we looked at that there are two different gates you can enter that lead to life. There is the narrow gate that leads to everlasting life. And there's the wide gate that leads to destruction. Now, what Jesus is going to point out in this message is this. Is just as there are true prophets, preachers, expounders of the true gospel, there are also people who are out there that preach a false gospel. False doctrine. And that's why it's important for us to understand. Because we make a lot of to-do about, well, what would Jesus do? Deeds. It's also important what we believe. That's called doctrine. The difference between dogma, man's teachings, and doctrine, God's teachings, is what will produce the fruit that we will look at this morning. So starting in verse 15, Jesus said, beware. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's the way to start it right there. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now he goes and just explains it right here. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn or cut down and cast into the fire. He reinforces his thought one more time. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, with everything going on in America today, the title of the message this morning is Fake News. With everything going on in America today, it won't take you 30 minutes if you've got a news program on, and especially if it is one of our 24-hour news programs on, that you will hear that term of fake news. It doesn't matter whether it is those of a more conservative leaning that say, well, CNN or MSNBC or NPR are fake news outlets. Well, then you got CNN and MSNBC and NPR and those other outlets that come in and say, well, Fox News is not Fox News. It's faux news, not F-O-X, but F-A-U-X. It's fake news. We know when it comes to the mask, and I'll go ahead and say this, just glancing this morning, that churches are exempt from this new executive order. Just to let everybody know, but once you go out into the public, then the executive order kicks in again. But it wouldn't take you 2 minutes to get online and find this doctor that says, wear a mask. You're going to come over here to another doctor. Went to the same school, same training, same internship, same experience. He's going to say, don't wear one. So what do we believe? Who do we believe? Well, you got to believe science. Well, this guy over here says his science says no. This guy over here says his science says yes. And this is the dilemma that the world takes and puts its citizens in. That is not the dilemma that Jesus Christ, as the gentle shepherd, the good shepherd, wants his sheep to walk within when it comes to what we believe. See, out in the world, there's counterfeit money. There are counterfeit diamonds. Counterfeit shoes. When I was a kid, some guy may put $100 into a paint job and his car looked good, but he was lucky if it started up. And we called it all show and no go. Pretty, but it was just going to sit there and go pretty. That's why it didn't get dirty, because it wasn't going nowhere. Now, in the cowboy culture, they say it's this. You're all hat and no cattle. In other words, you're a fake cowboy. We're going to find out starting next week that there are counterfeit Christians as well. And Jesus is giving us the formula on how to expose them. There are false prophets. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, and I think for me, the most well-known, to me, it's my favorite, if you can be called a favorite, is found in 1 Kings chapter 22. King Ahab is going to war against the army of Syria. Ahab was the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom. And he heard of the troubles that Ahab was having with the Syrians. And so he sends a messenger to Ahab, Jehoshaphat does, and he says, look, you're bone of my bone, you're flesh of my flesh, we are brothers, and so we're going to come and help you fight. And so Jehoshaphat and Ahab are together, and they're preparing to go to battle. Jehoshaphat asks Ahab, do you have a prophet that can come and tell us how the battle is going to go? And so there's a prophet by the name of Zedekiah. And Zedekiah made a pair of horns of iron. And he told Ahab and Jehoshaphat that with these horns, Israel will take the armies of Syria and drive them back into their homeland, and there they will be consumed. And Jehoshaphat goes, let's get a second opinion. You got another prophet. Ahab goes, yeah, but I don't like him. Well, why don't you like him? Y'all not ever say that against God's man. He never prophesies good about me. Anything he ever says is always bad. I don't want to hear what this guy's got to say. Let's listen to what he's got to say. Okay, so he sends a messenger to go find a prophet by the name of Micaiah. And the messenger comes to Micaiah and says, oh, look, this is what Zedekiah told Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Please say the same thing. And Micaiah says, I'll only say what the Lord's told me to say. So he comes before the two kings and prophesies exactly what Zedekiah had said. And Ahab goes, look, is that truth? He goes, no, not really. I see Israel scattered as sheep across the hillsides without a shepherd. And Ahab said, I told you he wouldn't prophesy good about me. I told you. And when they went to battle, it was as Micaiah said, and in that battle, Ahab was fatally wounded. See, there are fake prophets, fake Christians. See, Zedekiah spoke through a fake spirit, a false spirit. And Jesus is warning the people there in Galilee of that same spirit. And so he starts this thing off with our first point this morning, verse 15, where he says, beware, beware, be careful. It's what he is literally saying there. Beware. If you go on a ranch and you see, we're used to seeing little skinny wire and barbed wire on fence posts. Most of us are when we go look at a pasture. But if you go and you look at some ranches, they've got white tinsel wire that's about as big as my little finger that goes from post to post. And when you look at it, it just looks like a pretty fence. Beware. Don't touch it. That is high tensile, high voltage electricity of about 3,000 volts that's going to drop you to your knees and make you say things you never thought were still left inside of your heart. Beware. Jesus said these fellows are imposters. Look what he says here. He says, beware of false prophets. That word, those two words literally mean beware of pretended foretellers. They're just pretending is what they're doing. They're just pretending to be who and what that they say they are. And Jesus validates the existence of such spurious religionists. And he cranks it up when he says the word and uses the word beware. Beware. Be careful. Understand this is what you're getting ready to run into. And this is why he said what he said. Because when you look at the way they approach, because look what he said about these prophets which come to you. That is key. Which come to you in sheep's clothing. Sheep don't go to wolves. That would be the unnatural act of prey knowingly approaching the predator. This is the picture of the camouflaged predator approaching the unsuspecting prey. See, we come to church and we believe everyone who stands behind this pulpit in any church and preaches is God called. And what they say comes out of the Bible. And the opinion they give is always scriptural. And that is not so. That's not true. These false prophets, these false preachers will openly approach the sheep and understand that the wolf is never there to help. He's always there to destroy and provide his next meal for himself. That's what he's there for. False Christians. Jesus said these false Christians are not there to help. Paul warned us about those who would enter the church to cause division. And they come to you, and when they come to you, they bring to you fakeness falsehoods. They bring to you a fake love, a false love. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, that if any man says he loves the Lord, when he doesn't, let him be anathema. That word anathema means to be separated from God for eternity. Separated from grace. Separated from the opportunity to be born again. Separated from the opportunity of being able to earnestly repent of his own sin. Let them be anathema. Paul said when they come to you that way and they say the Lord, they love the Lord, you inspect their fruit and you find out that they do not. Let them be anathema. They come to you with a fake love because Christ came to you, Brother Dale, with heaven's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. His only Son. There's a fake gospel. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia that if any man, if any angel preached any other gospel than what he had preached, let them be cursed. Let them be cursed. In other words, not only allow this to affect the one who comes to me preaching that gospel be separated, but let those who believe that gospel that's fake be separated. John's third letter focused its entire message on a man by the name of Diotrephes that the Bible said that opposed faithful Gaius, who was the pastor there. That if folks come in and wanted to love one another and do what the Bible said and to carry out the gospel, that Diotrephes would have them put out of the church. They come to you with a false gospel. It goes back to what I said a few moments ago. There's doctrine. Where we learned this when we were going back through our doctrines a few years ago. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. Here a little. There a little. Doctrine. God's teaching. Verses dogma. Well, this is what I say. And they'll come to you with a fake storyline. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 35, the Apostle Paul has been speaking to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. He has appealed his case to go before Caesar. He is en route to Rome. Through the grace of those people who were escorting Paul to Rome, he obtained permission to speak to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And when those men came down to meet with the Apostle Paul, Paul told them, he says, look, we're never going to see each other again on this side of glory. We're never going to see each other again. I'm never going to stand in your assembly and ever preach to you again. I'm not going to be able to have oversight and have folks come and report to me of the things that's going on in Ephesus. That's over. But I want you to understand. You take heed. You take heed. Because wolves are going to enter in. And they're not going to spare the flock. And they're going to take. And they're going to take. And they're going to take. Because there in verse 35 of chapter 20 in the book of Acts, he said, here's how you tell. It's more blessed to give than what it is to receive. And all these things come out of a heart. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man." So beware. Verses 16, 17, and 18 is be observant. Recognition. Jesus said right there, He said, "You'll know them. You'll know them. You'll know who they are." In the world of police work, crime solving, it is called making a positive identification. When you use that word there, it says you'll know them. That word "know" means to recognize and to be fully acquainted with. So Jesus then, on a dime, when He says, here's how you will know them. You will know them by their fruits. And listen, He just asked a good old common sense question. Do you get grapes or figs from a briar bush? Here's the answer. Nope. You sure don't. If somebody tells you that those red berries on that briar bush is strawberries, they are not. They are blackberries that have yet to ripen. And if you stick your hand in there, you're going to get three things. A sour berry, scratches from the briars, and Brother Chris, in honor of you, chiggers. I can deal with the scratch and the sire. I can drink sweet tea. I can put alcohol on my hands. But them chiggers, they'll get you, boys. Amen. See, that's what you get from it. Jesus said, when you want good fruit, when you're looking for grapes, and when you're looking for figs, you don't go to a thorn bush. You go to a grapevine. You go to an orchard. You go to a vineyard. For a fig, you go to a fig tree. You don't go to no briar bush. See, Jesus said, this is how you identify it. These are things that's just good old common sense that have scriptural meaning. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, David and his men are fleeing from the presence of King Saul. He enters into a cave, and there he's just waiting for Saul and his men to bypass him. Well, Saul's tired, needs a nap, goes in the cave, lays down, and goes to sleep. Now, here's what one of David's men said, "Look what God did. He's brought your enemy in here so you can kill him. Rise up, kill him, and let's be done with this thing so we can go home to mom and the kids." David said, "No. That's the Lord's anointed. I don't have to agree with him. I don't have to like him. That's the Lord's anointed. It is not for me to take his life." He rose up and cut a piece of Saul's robe off to remind Saul just how easily he could have met his match. But David was basically saying this. You say it's this, but I know it's this. You said this is God's will when it plainly wasn't. Over here, I know it's God's will, even though I may not agree with it. I'm going to do what's right. You'll recognize them. You'll know them. And then be resolved. Be resolved. I get tickled when I watch adults argue with three-year-olds. I get tickled. Here's what I say. I don't argue with three-year-olds. I'm resolved that I'm the adult. I know what's best. And you're going to do it. So this is what we're looking at here in verses 17 and 18. We're looking at resolve. We're looking at where Jesus just plainly puts it to the masses. Be resolved. Don't confuse the matter. Good trees don't put off bad fruit. Understand that. Be resolved. Know it. Bad trees don't put off good fruit. And then in turn, good trees don't put off bad fruit. Be resolved. You may not like the tree. You may not like the person. Your personality and their personality may clash like oil and water. But if they put off good fruit, they're a good tree, regardless of what you think about them personally. And then flip it over. Just because you like somebody, they've got a winning personality, pretty as I am, or whatever it may be. That's why I don't wear a mask. I don't want to hide the merchandise. Amen. I need to get some glasses quick, don't I, Sully? It don't matter what they look like. And see, and this is what they began to understand, even when it came to our politicians, once TV came in. We're going to start electing people because how they look. We're going to start putting people in office because of the way they look. Because they're easy on the eyes. It doesn't matter how they look. If they say, I'm a good tree, I'm a good politician, but your works are bad. You're bad. No matter what your tree looks like. See, this isn't just deeds. This is doctrine. If you go back to the very beginning of sin, Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit. God has now come down into their presence. Adam, what'd you do? Well, my fruit's bad because her tree's bad. Eve, what have you done? My fruit's bad because the serpent's tree is bad. No. Their fruit was bad because when they disobeyed God, the tree became bad. See, this is where we have to understand. The only person that I can repent of for sin is my sin. On Wednesday night, we studied the Reformation Church. And one of the arguments that Martin Luther made in 1517, when on October the 31st of 1517, he took his thesis, which was called the 95 Thesis, and nailed it onto the door at the church in Wittenberg, Germany, where he was separating from Roman Catholicism. One of his arguments was the argument as far as the ability of the believer to be able to pray somebody out of purgatory. And Martin Luther asked this question: how can I pray somebody out of purgatory when I don't know he's sorry? When I don't know if he's repented? How do I know he wants out of purgatory? He may like it there. How do I repent for another man's sin? If I could repent for another man's sin, don't you think for a second that I wouldn't have repented for my brother Sam's sin before he died in April of 2018? I would have repented for his sin. But that wasn't my ability. I can't do that. I can't take somebody's tree that's bad and the fruit is bad and make it good because that's what I want. They have to make up their mind that they're going to obey the gospel out of their own heart for their own fruit. See, therefore, we, you and I alike, must resolve that our fruit will be better than that. I must resolve if my fruit is going to be good, that the tree that it comes from is good, then I've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ personally. And so do you. That's biblical. That's doctrinal. That's what Jesus said. And if we want to avoid a lot of the controversy that is going on in the world today, then we must remember that we are Christians first. And that the fruit that folks are going to inspect from us should come from the fruit tree of our faith. My fruit, through the Holy Spirit, is supposed to be the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of faith, the fruit of meekness, the fruit of temperance. Those are the fruits that our tree of faith are supposed to put off. And if you say that you're a Christian or you know someone who says they're a Christian and they don't put off their fruits, those fruits, it's because their tree's bad. They've got to understand the gospel net has been cast broad. Jesus Christ came into the world, into the cosmos, to save sinners. He didn't cast a little itty-bitty net. He cast a worldwide net called the gospel. But as He draws that net in, then the fish have got to determine whether or not they're going to get caught. That's your decision. And that's my decision. So you be sure. And this is the last thing this morning. You find that verses 19 20 where it says, every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you'll know. I was in Walmart the other day. And Brother Chris, I saw a fella that had on a ship's hat. And it said USS Falstaff. CVN 69. Now for the majority of you, that probably don't mean a thing. For those of us who ever served in the United States Navy, we have sat in general military training and watched the video of the USS Forrestal burn in the Tonkin Gulf off the coast of Vietnam. On that ship that day was a former or was a future United States Senator by the name of John McCain. And on that flight deck, a missile had been loaded and armed accidentally and fired across the deck, striking other jets and setting the flight deck on fire. On that day, actually days, while they were trying to put those fires out, over 130 sailors died. Because one pilot didn't do his job. It's the pilot's job, once that aviation ordnanceman has loaded on those Sparrow or Sidewinder missiles, or if in that six-barrel M61A1 20-millimeter cannon loaded those 20-millimeter shells, it is that fighter pilot's job to walk around that jet and ensure that everything is right before he ever climbs in that cockpit, before he ever fires up those engines, before he ever puts his helmet on his head. It is his responsibility to walk around that jet. It is her responsibility to walk around that jet. We got female pilots today. It is their responsibility to walk around that jet to ensure that it's right. They know what they're looking at. They know what to look for. Their aircraft, their job. Jesus said, your tree, your fruit, your job. Now, I hate to quote this man, but I'm going to. His name's Tom Brady. He's going to be the new quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they ever play football again. And you will see him walking along the sidelines, screaming at his teammates, saying this, "Do your job." As a human being, it is your job to ensure you walk around your faith. And as the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." You give diligence. You be resolved. Do your walk around. Make your faith and your calling, your election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fail. See, if you don't inspect your tree to ensure that your salvation is in Jesus Christ and that it's sure, that it's sound, that it's solid, that it's true, that the household of your faith has been founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, then you know what waits for you in your future. Heaven is your home. Streets of gold your feet will one day touch. A mansion has been prepared for you, and you will see the King of all glory face to face, and you will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You will see the face of the Father. I believe somehow we'll see the Holy Spirit. I don't know how. That's just what I believe. That is your destiny. But if you don't walk around, just like that pilot didn't walk around on Firestone, and over 100 sailors died because he didn't do his job. And that was a flaming, fiery mess on that flight deck that day. I remember watching a chief petty officer running toward that fire. Brother Richard, all he had in his hand was a fire extinguisher. And a bomb ignited and exploded. And you see that fire extinguisher spinning across that flight deck. And that chief petty officer lost his life in that moment. Jesus said, if you don't do a walk around and make sure your faith's real, your bad tree's going to be cut down. And it's going to be cast into the fire. By your fruits, you should recognize your tree. Let's not have fake fruit. We'll let those folks in New York and Washington and wherever they want to argue about their news, make whether or not it's fake news, bless their little hearts. But when it comes to the fruit, your fruit, your tree, your job, do your job.